Man, those words were spoken in this room last week by Heidi, and if you didn't hear that, if you weren't here, let me encourage you to go back and listen to those words, because it contains the very heart, the premise of this whole series that we're doing on the book of Joshua that we're calling Courage. Courage that's rooted in the promise of God that He will never, ever, ever leave us. And the courage of God, the message of courage from God to His people, it speaks to us just as it spoke to them. Right? You remember the story we began last week where Joshua is newly appointed as the leader of the Israelite people, and God comes to him and says, "You're going into the land. I'm giving you the land. Be very strong and be very courageous, and remember that I will never, ever leave you." And that speaks to us as well as it does to them. Because the life that Jesus calls us to, it requires courage. You miss out on so much of the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus if you get that mixed up. If you come and think that the life that Jesus calls you to is just simply getting things from Him, you miss His call to you, which is to love your neighbors and your enemies, right? To stand with those who are on the margins of our society and culture. To believe when it seems like belief is foolish. To follow God in the midst of a culture that's forsaking Him. Courage. Courage. When Jesus makes it clear to you that you're the friend that you have, the relationship that you've been investing in, that it's time to talk to them, time to tell them of the importance of your faith in Jesus in your life, that requires courage. It requires courage to walk in the ways of God when your friends are partying all the time. Every day, courageous choices face us. To love others without ever judging them. To follow that still small voice that has whispered in you something from God about who you are, about where He's taking you. It takes courage to believe that and to act on it. The problem with courage is that it's just not that simple, right? Wouldn't it be great if we just came in here and got you all pumped up and said, "Be courageous," and then we just all went out and started living super courageously? It doesn't work that way, though, does it? Why? What happens? What happens is fear. Fear happens. And fear defeats us, or keeps us from acting and living out in courage. Nothing derails our courage like fear. All right, just let me apologize to all my vegan friends and relatives for the following story, okay? Late afternoon, about this time of year in October, I was sitting on a hillside in Colorado, about halfway down this hillside. And I was sitting there with a buddy of mine, his name was Chris, and we're behind this dead tree, and we're looking down the hill at a fence line, and it's late in the afternoon, and we're hoping that sometime before dark, as we sit there, some elk will come along. And our goal is to, well, to catch some elk, let's just say, right? This is an important part of my meal planning for the next year, right? Okay, all right, don't worry. Here's my disclaimer. No animals were hurt during the events of this story, so don't worry. Well, the nature of the business is you have to sit there very still, very quiet, straining with everything that you have, hoping to hear or to see something before it hears or sees you. And so that's what we were doing. All afternoon, when the darkness begins to come, we're straining to see just the faintest indication that an elk was coming. And at one point, I began to hear the telltale sign of an animal in the woods. Not where I was hoping, but up on this other hillside next to me, the trees were so thick I couldn't see, but I could hear every once in a while a crunching leaf, a broken branch, something. And it was coming, and I was hoping and straining that I'd be able to see it, that it would come out of the forest at the bottom between some trees. And as I sat there hoping, waiting for it to happen, it did. Because all of a sudden, out from behind two trees steps, first, this is what I saw, a tan-colored paw, followed by a second paw, and then the head of a lion, a mountain lion, a full-grown mountain lion, right? And this hillside comes down. There's a small creek between us. And so this lion goes down into the creek, and because of the steepness of the bank, it means I couldn't see it any longer, okay? And so I'm sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? And it seemed like hours passed by. I'm looking and scanning for sign of this lion, when all of a sudden I see him, and he's on my side of the hill walking right towards me, and he's 30 yards away. And we have a come to Jesus moment. Right? On one side is one of nature's best, most efficient hunters. On this side, though, two apex predators, armed and dangerous. And you know what we did? We ran. I mean, we tripped over each other trying to get away like mice running from a house cat. That was us. Pew! Well, the problem was the lion, I don't think it cared too much about us at that point, because it walked into the woods on the hillside behind us. The only problem with that was my camp was 1 mile straight up that hill, and it was getting dark. So we ran in the opposite direction. We took the most circuitous route we possibly could. We ended up back in camp hours later, completely exhausted. Nothing derails courage like fear. Fear, right? Nothing keeps us from living and acting courageously like fear. Right? When the call comes to stand up and move in a different direction than all of our friends, we have to face our fear of rejection, right? Right? When we hear the call to follow Jesus. I was talking to Reuben about this week. We were having this great conversation about our Upward Sports ministry. He said, man, I'm just trying to get families to slow down. Slow down. Right? The courage to do that. Not just getting caught up in the stream of our culture that goes so fast it doesn't have time for God. You got to overcome your fear of what they're going to think. Right? That still small voice you've heard of God prompting you toward something, maybe toward a conversation or toward a relationship or toward a ministry. You hear that voice, but you have to face your fear of failure. 2 weeks ago, I was here on campus in a room with pastors from a bunch of different churches, and we were talking about stuff. And pretty soon we got to talking about the kinds of fears that we face. And just one by one, it went around, we all did, talking about the fear of rejection, right? And the fear of failure. The fear that our kids are going to just grow up and think church is the worst, you know? The fear of not having anything to say from God. It keeps us from moving, from acting courageously. So the question for today is, what can we do about that? Is there something that we can do to keep our fear from overwhelming our courage? Right? What is it that overcomes fear? And today, we're going to see in the next installment of our series in Joshua, we're going to see how it is that we can defeat fear, how we can overcome fear, and live with courage. And what I want you to see today is there's something distinctive for the believer, for the Christian. That there's something available to the person who walks in faith with God that's beyond what we can just drum up on our own to overcome fear. And this book of Joshua, it's based completely on that promise of being courageous. And today we're going to see the story of a remarkable woman named Rahab, who faces both great fear and great opportunity for courage. But it all begins with a spy story. And this is Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Then Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.'" Now, this is Joshua's first action, right? God said to him, "Hey, I'm giving you the land. It's time to go. You have to be super courageous. You got to remember that I'm with you." And so this is the first thing that he does. "Hey, I'm going to send some spies to check it out and get ready because we're coming." It's top secret spy mission, two spies, right? "Lead your people," God had said, "into the land of Canaan." It's based on this promise. This is chapter 1, verse 9. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God, he will be with you wherever you go." And so off he sends these spies on this spy mission. Now, we don't know much about these two spies, but I think they must have been like relatives of Joshua's, because they are not very good at being spies. I do not know how they got this job. Okay, because secret spy mission, remember that? Okay, look what happens in the next part of chapter 2, verse 1. "So the spies, they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there." That's it. That is going to be the sum total of their spy mission. They're supposed to spy out the whole land, and they don't make it any farther than Rahab's house. Okay. Not only that, this mission is supposed to be secret. But look, verse 2 says, "The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.'" They don't even make it through the first night before everybody knows they're there and what they're doing. All right, that's not really the point. The point is that this encounter with these spies is what brings Rahab to her moment of truth, her opportunity for courage, but also her opportunity for fear. So look what happens next. In verse 3, it says, "So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.'" The king does what you expect the government to do, right? If they figure out that you have spies in your house who are planning an invasion, they're going to come and get them, right? I mean, that's pretty normal. And so Rahab is confronted with these soldiers, actual messengers that bring this message from the king, knocking on her door and saying, "There's two spies in there, send them out." What's surprising is Rahab's response, especially at this point in the story. We don't know why she does what she does, but look at it. "But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'Yeah, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they had come from. So at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Hey, go after them quickly. You might catch up with them.'" Wow, really? Look what happens. "She had taken them up to the roof. She had hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut," and they're out. All right, think this through for a moment. The government, the CIA, Homeland Security, the FBI, somebody is knocking on your door, and they know you have spies. You have decided to hide the spies. Right, can you imagine the fear Rahab's experiencing then when the soldiers show up and knock at her door? Right? It sounds similar to some of the stories we read and that we hear about coming out of our Second World War. Right? In Europe, when the Nazi SS troops would show up at your door banging late at night and say, "Hey, where are your friends, the Goldsteins? We haven't seen them. And you've got them hiding in your attic." What do you say? Right? That's the moment Rahab is confronted with. Once she's decided she's going to hide the spies, and she says, nope, they're not here, and she gets them to go in the different direction. Maybe if you hurry and go that way, you'll catch them, and it totally works. Great courage in the face of fear. So what's going on? Well, what you're going to see is that the courage that Rahab shows is because of something that she knows. Something that she knows. We're about to find out. She knows something. Verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and she said to them, get this, I know that the Lord has given you this land. You see that? I know the Lord has given you this land. I know God has made you a promise. I know it. But look what else it says. And the other thing I know is that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Right? Everybody in our land, they have been completely overcome by fear. They are unable to act with courage, but Rahab is. And the reason is because she knows. She's confident. God has made a promise. He's going to keep it. And this is confirmed by what she has seen. That's why the next verses she goes on to say, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Verse 11. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. There it is. Do you see that combination of fear and courage? Fear overcoming courage. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's courage has failed except for Rahab's. Not Rahab. She finds courage and it's because of what she knows. I know. I know that God has made you a promise, and I also know that God has the ability to keep his promises. We've seen it. We saw the whole Red Sea thing. We heard about that on CNN, and then we just watched what you did to two very powerful kings who had set their intentions against you. We know. And what happens, this confidence that gets confirmed by what she sees, it results in this amazing profession of faith by Rahab. Look what else she says. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now this is a Canaanite woman living in the city of Jericho. There's nothing in her culture, there's nothing in her time that would lead her to even know this, but her confidence comes from something that she knows. God has promised this. I've seen that he can keep it, and this allows her to realign her loyalty with God. That's what's really happening here. Rahab is saying, I've seen this. I have confidence in this. I know it's true, and so I'm going to realign myself with it. I'm going to turn my back on my culture, a culture we'll find out is later is evil, it's set against God, and instead I'm going to align myself with God, okay? She's not just saying, listen, I know the king is someone to be afraid of, but I'm more afraid of you. You can live that way. You can base your actions on what you're most afraid of. But all that does is lead to a life of fear. Instead, let your courage flow from your deepest loyalty, because that's what courage is. Courage, our actions of courage are a reflection of our deepest loyalties, right? When I was on that mountainside and that mountain lion was looking at me, the only thing that I was loyal to was my own skin, right? But if my kid had been in the mountain behind me, different story, right? That which we are most loyal to, we act on, we act toward. And that's what Rahab does. Her confidence overcomes her fear, leading her to act with great courage and to act in accordance with her deepest loyalties now, which are God. And it changes her whole future. In verse 12, she says this. This is kind of interesting. "Now then," she says to these spies, "hey, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you." And she goes on and says, "Give me a sign," and they work out this deal. "Okay, you hang this red flag in your window, and when we come to Jericho, we'll see the flag. We won't get you. We'll take care of everybody else. You'll be fine." But what she's really doing is in this verse, she's saying, I want you to see, I want you to know I'm on your side. And so this word kindness is the Hebrew word that stands for the covenant, mercy, loyalty of God. Show me that loyalty as I'm showing you loyalty. I'm telling you, I'm with God. And Rahab does that. And that's how it turns out. When they come to the city of Jericho, the Israelites, Rahab and her family, they're protected. But not only are they protected, they come and they live with the people of Israel. And she becomes part of, she becomes loyal to these people to such a degree that the next time Rahab's name shows up, it's on the first page of the New Testament. The very first page, page one. Gospel of Matthew, right? There's kind of like an ancestry.com thing about Jesus on that first page. And right in the middle is the name Rahab. Rahab becomes like the great, like 100 greats grandmother of Jesus. Why? Why? Because her confidence in God's promise overcame her fear and allowed her to act with great courage. That's what confidence in God's promises do. And this is something that the Christian faith offers. Listen, if you're here today and you're thinking, I'm not sure. I don't know if I believe. I don't know if I can live this life of faith. I want you to hear something today. Christianity offers you something you cannot find on your own, and that is faith in a God who makes and keeps promises to you. A God who will make you promises that, like Rahab, you can have the ultimate confidence that he keeps them. And as your confidence grows through experience, as your confidence in God's power and his promise-keeping ability grows, what happens is it overcomes your fear. And you find yourself able to act with courage. And we face this many, many times, many, many different ways in our lives. But the time that I remember learning this so distinctly, it comes from a long time ago, and some of you know this story. I was all of 28 years old, and our first son, our three-year-old son, he got sick one day. Turned out to be symptoms of a brain tumor, which was so advanced that it was not operable. And the next day, he passed away. And I know, you know, many, many of you have been through similar experiences, and you know there's this really strange thing that you have to do in the face of this, someone you know dying, that you're there with them, you know, and you experience this terrible thing, but eventually you have to leave. You have to leave the room. You have to leave the building. You have to go on. And that was a long time ago, but there are some things about that experience that are just locked into my brain. And one of them is this image of what happened, of having to leave the hospital. And on the way out, going down the hallway, and there's a bank of elevators. This is at Loma Linda Hospital. And it was just us and a couple of friends who had stayed with us, and we had to walk to that bank of elevators, and I had to push the elevator button. And I know that may sound strange, but I knew inside me that if I pushed this button, it was going to open a door that I didn't want to walk through. I didn't want my wife to walk through it. I didn't want, Andrew was like a year and a half, I didn't want him to walk through it. I didn't want our church to walk through it. We had a church that was 1 year old at the time. But I knew if I pushed that button, the doors were going to open, and it was a whole different journey. And somehow, we did. We found the courage and pushed the button and began that journey. And later, in the days and weeks and months after that, when people would ask me about that and talk about it, that the only thing I knew to say was that I knew I had walked with God long enough that I knew something about God, and that was that He kept His promises. In particular, God had promised that He would never, ever leave me. And on that basis, I could walk through that door, start this journey, knowing God was with me. And you've had moments like that in your life, I'm sure too, that where you faced, where you know, to move on with this, I'm going to have confidence in the promise of God. Because God does make those promises. And our confidence in them allows our courage to grow. And the Bible contains so many promises for you, but today I'm just going to go through three. Three promises. They cover a lot of ground. And maybe today, where you are, what you're facing, one of these promises will speak to you. Okay? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This promise of God has been really significant to me in so many moments where I've wondered, God, what is going on? How are we ever going to face the challenges that are before us? God, what is the ministry you have for us as a people, right? And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you're a young man. Maybe you're a young woman, and you've had this sense. Maybe you're not so young. And you've had this whispering of God in your heart that He's calling you into something. Maybe it's a new venture. Maybe it's a vocational calling. Maybe it's to serve some people, right? But all you faced is objections. Whenever you talk about this, the people around you, they think it's silly, or they don't support you, or they think it's odd. Or maybe you've tried to take steps towards this thing that God is calling you in, and all that happens is nothing. This promise is for you. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. If God has called you to something, He will accomplish it. That's a promise. And your confidence in that promise can overcome the fear that keeps you from courage. Okay, here's the second one. This is Philippians chapter 1. Jared reminded us of this morning. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The good work in you that this is talking about is the inner work of God in your life, in your heart, in your soul. That God begins that work, and He promises you that He will complete that work. Right, so this promise is for you. If you feel like God is calling you, drawing you to take a deeper step of faith with Him, but you're not sure, you're facing the fear of failure, right? If you're facing maybe addressing the stronghold, the thing in your life that's kept you back, and you're facing the fear of letting other people into your story, this promise is for you. If you are in the spiritual desert, where you feel like, today I'm not hearing, I'm not seeing God, I don't know where He is, this promise is for you. God has begun a good work in you when you came to Him, when you gave Him your heart in faith, and He will bring it to completion. So act courageously. Follow His promptings. Lean in to His leading. And then finally, the promise that this series is based on. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the promise of God to you wherever you go. If that's into a new living situation, if it's into or out of a relationship, if it's toward a step of ministry, if it's into a doctor's office, if it is into retirement, wherever it is you are going, God promises to be with you always. So go with courage. Step in faith. Be strong. That's God's promise to you. Let's pray together today. And as we do, I really want to invite you to just, in the quietness of this moment, think about this question. What has God promised you? What has God given you? Many of you, I know, you have a very personal sense of something that God has spoken to you. And maybe fear has gotten in the way, and you need to look that fear in the face today and say, who has promised what? What has God promised? And you might be here today on the verge of something that seems completely beyond you. And fear is keeping you from living, from walking, from relating to people. I want you to hear his promises. And maybe you're grappling with the still small voice of God. Maybe he's calling you to believe. Maybe he's calling you to follow. Maybe he's calling you to something that none of your friends or family are really going to understand. But you know it's good. I want you to hear the promise of God today. God, we thank you for your word and for its powerful reminder of your promise-keeping power. We're grateful for the example of our Lord Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and secured for us redemption. I thank you for my friends and partners here who have lived for so many years in faith. Some of them are weary, Lord. God, I pray that you remind them of your presence and that you would remind them of your faithfulness, that you will do it. And grant us courage today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.